Hello and welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I am your host, Evelyn, and I am so grateful you joined me tonight. If you have been following our Wednesday night Bible study, thank you for being a part of this journey through Deuteronomy. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Every week, we take what we've studied together and we share it here on our podcast. And normally, Crystal is with me, but unfortunately, she couldn't join me tonight, so I will be doing a solo teaching. And this is not meant to replace your own time in God's Word, but to encourage you to open your Bible and study for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. We are not biblical scholars here at Beyond the Church Walls. We are just simply ladies who love the Word of God and love teaching it and love learning. And so if you're listening today, whether you're driving down the road or listening on your porch with a cup of coffee or getting ready for work, I pray this episode encourages you to draw closer to the Lord. So let me open us up in prayer. Father, thank you for another opportunity to open your word together. Thank you that your truth is just as alive and relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. As we look back on what we studied this week, help us not only to understand your word with our minds, but to receive it into our hearts. Teach us how to live in a way that honors you. Remove distractions, open our ears to hear your voice, and let your Holy Spirit transform us through your truth. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this past Wednesday night, we finished week 6 of our Deuteronomy study, covering chapters 12 through 16. And as I was preparing this lesson, one thought just kept coming back to me over and over again. And it's, God didn't rescue Israel from Egypt just to set them free. He rescued them so they could belong to him. Now, that really became the heartbeat of our study. Sometimes when we read the Old Testament, especially books like Deuteronomy, it's easy to get caught up in all the commands and think this is just a book of rules, you know, full of rules. But when you slow down and really look at what's happening, you begin to see something much deeper. God wasn't simply giving Israel a list of things they could and couldn't do. He was teaching them how to live as his people. He was shaping their hearts, and he was preparing them to enter a land where every surrounding nation worshiped false gods, lived by different standards, and rejected the one true God. Israel was going to stand out, not because they were better than everyone else, but because they belonged to God. And church, that's still true for us today. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live differently, set apart, not to blend in with the culture around us, but to reflect the character of the one true God who saved us. So one of the things I found fascinating is where Moses begins. He doesn't start by talking about building houses. He doesn't talk about farming. He doesn't talk about government. He starts with worship. I don't think that's an accident. I don't think it's accidental that's where he began. Because before anything else can be right, our relationship with God has to be right. God tells Israel to destroy every pagan altar and every place where false gods were worshipped. Not to cover them up, not to ignore them, but to destroy them. Now, if we're honest, that can sound pretty extreme until we understand God's heart. God knew exactly what those places represented. He knew if they stayed standing, eventually someone would wander back. And eventually compromise would creep in, and eventually the next generation would forget why those altars had been destroyed in the first place. So compromise rarely announces itself, right? It usually creeps in. We've talked about this before. It's like a slow process. It usually starts with like one small decision, one little exception, one justification. And before we know it, before too long, we've drifted farther from God than we had ever imagined. You know, like I believe Crystal said last week, you know, you just don't wake up one day and say, well, I'm just not going to serve the Lord today. That's not how it happens. It is a slow drift. And before you know it, you are compromising, right? And as we talked last night, you know, the question was, what are the altars we need to tear down today? Like, what is coming before God in our lives today? Maybe it's not like a carved image like they're referring to there, right? But it could be pride. It could be money. It could be a career. Maybe it's something political. Maybe it's social media and scrolling on those phones, right? Maybe it's our own comfort. You know, we're just, you know, complacent. Anything that takes God's rightful place in our hearts becomes an idol. And that's what Moses, that's what his first lesson was to the people here, as we see. God deserves first place always. We should never compromise that. So as we continued into chapter 13, I loved that how naturally Moses built on the first lesson. So after talking about false worship, he then begins talking about false voices, right? So God tells Israel something that is just as important today as it was then. Even if someone performs miracles, even if they're convincing, if they're leading you away from God, do not follow them. So that really hit home for me, because today there are more voices competing for our attention than ever before. Every day we scroll through social media, we listen to podcasts, we watch YouTube videos, we read books, we hear opinions. Everyone claims to have the truth. But God reminds us that His word has always been and will always be the standard. So, and that's why I said at the beginning of this podcast, please open your Bibles and join in with me. Always have your Bibles open when someone's trying to preach or speak the word to you, you know? And it should resonate with you. Like, if you hear something that doesn't sound right, go to the word. Discernment comes from knowing God's voice so well that when something or someone, it doesn't line up with scripture, your spirit will recognize it. So that's why spending time in God's word is so very important. And then we moved into chapter 14, where I think honestly, this may have been one of my favorite parts of the lesson, because before God talks about food laws, before he talks about tithing, he reminds Israel who they are. You are holy people. Think about that. Like, God begins with identity. He doesn't say, act holy, so I'll love you. He says, you belong to me. We already belong to him, right? Then he teaches them how to live. That's the gospel. Jesus doesn't ask us to earn his love. He changes our identity. Then our lives begin changing because of that relationship we have with Jesus Christ, right? Our obedience flows from belonging to the one true God, not from trying to earn acceptance. And I think that's something that every Christian needs to remember. You know, as we entered into chapter 15, this is like living with open hands, right? The focus shifts from towards generosity now. God instructed Israel that every seventh year debts were to be forgiven. So servants were released, people were given fresh starts. And when you really think about it, that truly reflects God's own heart. Because isn't that exactly what he's doing for us? He's canceled our debt we could never repay. He set us free. He gave us a new beginning through Jesus Christ. Then God tells his people something that's still challenging us today. Don't harden your heart. Don't close your hands. You know, be generous, not just with your money. Be generous with forgiveness. Be generous with kindness. Be generous with grace and even hope. Because generous people reflect a generous God. So then we move into chapter 16. And here we see the three feasts, which were Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And every one of them had one purpose, and that was remember. So remember where God brought you from. Remember how he provided. Remember how he protected you. And remember his faithfulness. Can I tell you something? I've learned in my own walk with the Lord, it is easy to remember our problems. It is much harder to intentionally remember God's faithfulness. Think about that. That's why I think these feasts were so important in that time. God built remembrance into the lives of his people. Then Moses finishes by talking about justice. He tells the judges to be fair. Don't take bribes. Don't show favoritism. Because people who truly worship God should also reflect his characters in the way they treat others. Worship and justice have always gone together. So let's bring it all together. As we wrapped up Bible study Wednesday night, you know, we look back over these five chapters and realize they all point to one central truth. God wasn't preparing Israel simply to enter a new land. He was preparing them to become a different kind of people set apart from those in the area and the nations they were about to enter. So people whose worship looked different, people whose generosity looked different, whose leadership looked different, whose lives looked different, the same is true for us today. The lesson is the same. When Jesus saves us, he doesn't simply change our eternal destination. He begins changing our daily lives. Our priorities change, our attitudes change, our relationship change, the way we treat people changes, and the way we worship changes. Why? Because we now belong to him. As I close Bible study Wednesday night, I left everyone with this question, and I want to leave you with it as well today. If someone watched your life this week, would they know you belong to Jesus? Not because they saw you sitting in church, not because they heard you quote a Bible verse or posted a Bible verse on social media, because they saw humility, generosity, integrity, grace, compassion, justice, a heart that put God first. That's what Moses was teaching Israel, and I believe that's still God's invitation to us today. Let's not settle for simply knowing God's word. Let's live it out. Let's allow it to shape every area of our lives so that when people see us, they catch a glimpse of Christ. Now, before I end in prayer, I want to leave you with a few questions. Some of our group discussion questions, and I'm going to ask the question, and I'm going to also then give basically an answer, a generalized answer that we can kind of come up with. But I strongly encourage you to write these questions down and then read and reflect and come up with how you would answer these questions. But why do you think, the first question is, why do you think God's law addressed so many areas of everyday life? Why do you think he did that? So kind of what we came up with is because God desires to be the Lord over every part of our life, all over everything. He knows that our worship, our relationships, our work, finances, leadership, and decisions are all connected. His laws were given to help his people live in a way that reflected his holiness and brought blessings to the community. Question two. How can biblical wisdom influence decisions at work, home, and in relationships? So biblical wisdom helps us act with integrity, honesty, humility, patience, and love. It teaches us to make decisions that honor God rather than simply doing what is the easiest or most popular. Applying God's wisdom strengthens families, workplaces, friendships, and our witness to others. And then question three, what practical steps can believers take to live according to God's principles? So that would be things such as spend time reading and studying God's word daily. Pray for wisdom before making decisions, and God says he will give us wisdom freely. We just need to ask for it. Obey God's commands even when they are difficult. Surround yourself with other believers who encourage your faith, not surround yourself with people who encourage you to stumble. Show generosity, justice, compassion, and forgiveness in everyday life. And regularly remember and thank God for his faithfulness. Have a gratitude journal. You know, when you wake up, what are you telling the Lord? What are you grateful for? You know? And make sure you're telling others what you're grateful for. So in closing, this study, again, we finished chapters 12 through 16. So I encourage you to go read those chapters. But as you're reading those chapters, look for examples of how God's commands guided the daily lives of his people. That's what you're going to find a lot of in 12 through 16. We touched upon a lot of it here. I strongly encourage you to read those chapters. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and for the reminder that you have called us to be your holy people. Thank you that you didn't simply save us from something, you saved us for something. You have called us to reflect your character in every area of our lives. Lord, search our hearts today. If there is anything competing for first place in our lives, reveal it to us and give us the courage to surrender it to you. Help us to worship you with undivided hearts, to grow in discernment so we recognize truth from error, and to live with generosity, compassion, and integrity. Teach us to remember your faithfulness in every season, trusting that the God who carried us this far will continue to lead us every step of the way. May our lives be a testimony of your grace, and may everything we do point others to Jesus. We ask all of this in his precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. If today's episode encouraged you, I hope you'll share it with a friend or a family member who could use this reminder. And if you'd like to study alongside us each week, we'd love to have you join our Wednesday night Bible study as we continue walking through God's Word together. But until next time, remember, our faith was never meant to stay inside the church walls. Let's take the hope of Jesus into our homes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and everywhere God opens the door. I'm Evelyn, and I will see you next time. Until then, be blessed.